The road to WrestleMania is in full swing. Vince McMahon raided by the FBI, and Billy Jack Haynes goes off the deep end, wrestling with history worldwide on the VOC Nation Wrestling Network. Hit my music.
American Dream.
Voice of Choice Wrestling Nation.
Heard worldwide
on VOCNation.com.
The Insane Clown Posse.
We can't thank all you guys enough. Whoop, whoop.
We understand our audience, and we give them what we think they would want.
We're about pleasing the fans.
Road Warrior Hannibal.
Jake the Snake Roberts.
The wrestling has changed so much.
Conan.
Yo, this is K-Dog. Yo, with Bowdy Bowdy and Rowdy Rowdy.
Hall of Fame ring announcer Howard Finkel.
Brilliance was Bobby Heenan's middle name.
Lex Luger.
God's given me a whole new perspective on wrestling and the fans.
WWE Hall of Famer Jimmy Superfly Snuka.
Thanks for having me on your radio show from the Jersey Shore.
The legendary Diamond Dallas.
Bang!
Voice of Choice Wrestling Nation.
I put my name in, but again, we're just waiting for a phone call.
You could be Moroccan, Algerian, Albanian, Greek.
This is the best crowd I've ever seen in my entire life.
I love cheesecake.
I don't know how to respond to his lunacy.
Malcolmania.
And I don't think Hollywood's ready for Malcolmania, but we'll wait and see.
Jim the Anvil Neidhart.
Your talk show here that I'm doing here is the best one.
Jimmy Hart.
I've been lucky every day I get up and look in the mirror and pinch myself.
The ninth wonder of the world. China.
I told Vince, I said, yeah, I'm going to wrestle the guys. And that's how it started.
X-Pac.
We're wrestlers, and it's still a wrestling show.
Mr. Scott Hall.
Hey, yo, I want to rock the wrestling world again.
OneWrestling.com. Bill After.
If it wasn't for Hogan and Vince McMahon, sports entertainment would not be in existence.
We have a bushwhacker in the house.
G'day, mateys. It's bloody lovely being on your show.
MVP.
I came up with the MVP concept based on everything that's wrong with pro athletes today.
VOC Nation, heard worldwide.
This right here is the future of wrestling.
All right, I love it. Keep it going, Namar. Keep that going. Keep the Ultimate Warriors music playing in the background. Let's just keep it for the whole show. I mean, doesn't it energize you? Can't you just, like, you just feel it? Oh, yeah.
It's funny that you mentioned the Ultimate Warriors because I found a new respect for him. I really, really have. I know he was not the most skilled wrestler, but he's hilarious. I mean, I love watching him run back to the ring now and hitting the ropes. I mean, the man was out of control. So
everybody hated him.
They did, and with good reason. I mean, there's some good reason too, but the Ultimate Warrior was enjoyable for his time. I mean, what a guy to come through wrestling and make his mark in such a short period of time.
How about we can cut the music, but how about the fact that he like predicted his own death on TV? Did you ever like think about that? I don't think we ever talked about that. I think that was maybe in the period where we, you know, we go through like, you know, years at a time where we don't even speak to each other after doing these shows together. So
well, hold on. This is, I figured out the pattern. So, since we've been adults, I'm either at the beginning of a relationship, like when you're trying to meet a woman, then we hang out a lot till you find her, and then I don't see you or talk to you anymore, or you go off the deep end. And then if something's disrupted or if it's the end of a relationship, then I see you, talk to you again.
Are you saying I'm on the verge of divorce?
No, just probably
again?
No. We know you guys are rock solid, but you know, I don't know what, so maybe some disruption or something, because that's the pattern. If you really think about it, that's exactly the way it's been.
That's right.
You always, I thought to myself, this guy's an asshole. I said he only comes around when he needs me. But you make the ride interesting, so you're worth it.
Well, this time it's been different. I mean, this time it's not one of those scenarios. You know what it is? I have more time. I deeply invest my time in my partners.
You do.
Maybe that's the problem. Anyway, wrestling with history worldwide. in the VOC Nation Wrestling Network. Follow us on X, WWHVOC. That's how you get to us there. And we're exclusively streaming tomorrow on the VOC Nation Wrestling Network. And I always have to put this disclaimer out there because I started VOC Nation. You and I did that together back in 2010 or so. But it's not ours now. We stream on there because it's free for us to do it. And it's an audience that we help to build. And it's got a nice rock solid audience, you know, 28 or 30,000 followers, whatever it is, that's fine. But I don't validate any of the other shows on there.
I just not can't. At all.
Nope.
There is a very blatant hostility that you have towards them. And I mean, tell us why. Where does the bitterness come from, Bruce?
I'm not bitter. I love Brady. Actually, Brady is a great guy. He runs a show different than I would run a show. He lets the callers take his lunch, and I wouldn't do that. I mean, we did major market Philadelphia radio, Namar, and when you do that, you know how to police your callers. And some of these wrestling shows that take live calls just don't know how to do it. I don't even think Busted Open knows how to do it, Dave.
Whoa, Jack.
I'm sorry. I'm just kidding.
But somebody forgot their Cytal Opram tonight. So we're going to work through it as best we can. We're going to work through
it. You know what it is we were on the forefront of all this mess. You know, we were before Conrad Thompson. We were before Dave LaGreca. Actually, we were right around the same time. We were before the podcast revolution, and you know, because you had a meltdown at the Waffle House, we ended up in you know, we were the E! True Hollywood Story, and we fell apart. And it pains me to see these low talent hacks that are out there now trying to replicate what we had. You know, because everybody who was anybody listened to VOC Nation back in the 2010s.
That's true, Bruce. I mean, think about it. We had Jim the Anvil Neidhart. We had Dolph Sweet. You know, you can't forget him. Sergeant Slaughter. I mean, the list goes on and on and on. There's been so many people. Hulk Hogan. Hulk Hogan. I forgot about that. The Hawks are my favorite wrestler of all time. We had the Hawks. That was a great moment for us.
Go ahead. Before Eric Bischoff had a podcast, where did he go to talk about what he wants to say?
Exactly.
VOC Nation.
Exactly.
VOC Nation.
Can we do
okay,
it again?
Okay, anyway.
Well, Bruce, hold on. Before we begin, though, quick question for you. Can you tell me, and I know this is pretty random, what do you think of Brian Last?
Jim Cornette annoys the crap out of me.
But, you know, and that leads me to another question. Why does Jim Cornette annoy you?
Oh, well, there's a lot of reasons. I mean, he just... Well, I will say this. Jim Cornette, his view of wrestling is similar to mine.
In what way?
I mean, he doesn't like the he doesn't like all the pomp and circumstance. You know, he likes old school wrestling. But I like the, like, so Jim and I, the two of us, we don't like AEW because AEW is more the Japanese style, right?
Right.
It's just matches, and Jim is a story guy. Jim was like, he was, I think the things that Jim Cornette values in wrestling don't actually sell. Like they can't translate to the mainstream. And what I've tried to tell people here for the weeks that we've been back is you have to have a product that also can appeal to the mainstream. And Jim Cornette just doesn't get it.
So this is what's strange to me. We're going to look at this linearly. So You said Jim Cornette annoys you, and I asked why, and you said because you guys think alike, and then you said, but his product, but the way he thinks doesn't work, which annoys you. I mean, Bruce, that kind of reasoning. I mean, how do you tie that knot? It's wild. Tell us. We want to know.
I don't know. I don't know. He's a hypocrite, too. I think he is a hypocrite.
Well, he's definitely a hypocrite. He's horrible. I mean, Jim Cornette, he's a very lucky person. He's a very lucky person because he managed to be far more visible than his talents deserved him. And, I'll give him credit on that front. He was an attraction, but his knowledge and his ideas regarding wrestling are severely lacking.
Well, I don't understand too. He has this, and listen, I don't know. I wasn't there. I don't know why he hates Bruce Pritchard. I don't know. Are you still there? Did I lose you?
No, I'm listening, and it's funny. I haven't thought about that.
Yeah, well, it's like, so that annoys me. I mean, he has a problem with Bruce Pritchard. He has a problem with, I'm hearing myself in my ear. That's what's happened. Sorry. Okay. it was production problems on my end. All right. Sorry. Brian, wouldn't happen to Brian last, I'm sure. But
you are you're having a whole thing tonight. Like this. I mean, it is. So, wait a minute. What is. You are having a fit tonight. I mean.
I just know that if we hadn't retired, if I hadn't retired back from radio back in the 2012 or whatever, I don't know, these guys wouldn't be around. Okay, I'd be doing everybody's podcast. We would be on Sirius. I mean, it's just that's the way it is.
Hey Bruce,
ridiculous.
Who were the guys that ran Atlanta?
Oh, you talking about the who was that guy? Did you talk about the convention that we did in Atlanta, the last hurrah?
Yeah,
I forget.
Yeah,
I forget.
That's
NWA Legends Fan Fest.
Okay. Yeah, that was the way they did business really sent you over the edge. You were, and I had no clue, and then you just exploded.
So that's the, and you listen, my counselor, psychiatrist, whatever, she'll tell you that I am a codependent person. So I'll take it and absorb it. And then I just lash out. And that's what happened. Namar, what was happening was we would bring value to these conventions, right? I mean, we would do the carnival barking for them. We would entertain people. And many times they would appreciate it. And most of the time the deal was we would do it for free as long as we got to do the live show, right?
Right.
Well, that guy made us pay for a table. And that just like I think we brought in Diamond Dallas Page who never mind. I'm not going to say anything. I'll keep my comments to myself.
No,
I'll
and say Jimmy it. Hart. He left his you know, you vend for a guy and he spends the entire time on the floor walking around reuniting with other wrestlers when he's supposed to be making you the money back and then some. So
yeah,
that's what happened. I mean, really nice guy. I mean, the free DVD that he gave wasn't worth his overall cost. It didn't match. You know, and really nice guy, which makes it difficult. He didn't do his work the right way. And then you were constrained so heavily by the promotion itself that it just made for a very miserable thing. And then you lashed out. It was unreal. It was vicious. It was heartbreaking.
It's like an intro true Hollywood story. You know, it's like something you would see. If Legends of the Ring wanted to make a, you know, can you see like somebody playing our parts on Legends of the Ring? You watch that, right?
No. You know, that would be some ridiculous. Guy with
some like, you know, disc jockey looking guy with spiky hair. And, you know, you'd have like somebody playing you, maybe like,
No, they would make him really fat and overweight. They would make him like super fat. They would make him super fat. They would give you stuff like frosted tips and everything. Like it would be just an exaggeration of us, you know. It would be hilarious because they always play it up in those things. They're never right on target. They're always almost a caricature of the era or the things that they're supposed to be documenting or, you know, putting forth the era. They're horrible with that.
So now that we're back in it, you know, and we're getting followed by some of the cream of the crop, you know, are following Wrestling with History and subscribing. We really appreciate it. I'll try to stop insulting my audience here. I mean, I'm pretty bad at that. So you'll get to know that if you didn't listen back in the past. Sometimes I say the wrong things at the wrong times, but that's why you'll love us at the same time. But
well, Bruce, can we just be honest? Can we just say, you know, can we call out a few people? You know, Chris Gorish, you broke Bruce. Tara, yeah. You broke yeah. Bruce. Malcolm, you broke Bruce. We love you Wilder. Guys. We loved you guys, but you all broke Bruce. BB.
So that's right. So the people that weren't on that ride with us back in Philadelphia on the radio, we had a call-in show, and all of these wild characters would call in and they try to take over the show. And you know, I'm sure that anybody listening right now knows Malcolm Wildman. You've seen him at a convention. He's the guy that is the Oakland Raiders fan, loves Hulk Hogan, and he thinks that he is the character. And he just runs around screaming like a wild man, no pun intended. And that's what he does. But he would call every week and try to take over the show. And when you're actually running a timed radio show where it's not just, you know, having fun with a podcast, you have to manage your breaks. And this guy would call in. And all of them would, honestly, all of them would. They'd just call in and talk about what they're doing. Like anybody cares. Nobody cares. Nobody cares. Nobody cares who you met. Nobody cares who you're going to meet. Nobody cares about the convention you were at. Nobody cares about how many autographs. Nobody cares. Nobody cares, Malcolm. Nobody cares, Rat Boy. Nobody cares about anything to do. Never mind. Should we get on with the show?
Can we get 10 cc's of lorazepam down here, please?
But Malcolm, he won a contest that we did at WNJC Philadelphia, defunct, God rest its soul, AM radio, dead, down the toilet. Malcolm won a contest. We had to take him to WrestleMania, mostly on my own dime. And Albert and I went. If you remember, because you didn't go on that.
Did Albert pay you back?
We'll talk about that another day, another time. So we take Malcolm.
Hey Bruce, hold on, Bruce. Who do you like better, Albert or Brady? like, where do they rank to you in terms of like side hosts? Or, you know, do the three. So you have you have Brady, Albert, and Eric. How do you rank them from best to least? So you have
That's not fair.
One is the best and three is the least. How would you rank them?
They all listen.
They what?
They all listen. They all listen to the show. How could I do that?
Come on, Bruce. I mean, you know, rank them. do it in the nicest way possible.
No, okay. Well, I work with Brady, right, Brady?
Good.
Brady's in the same industry as me, and I think that as a person, Brady is my favorite of the bunch. As a person.
Okay, great.
Okay. To, mm-hmm. Two, with Brady and I have different ways of running a show. I don't let the callers run the show. I never did. I've always despised the callers. Brady loves the callers. And honestly, that's why he's survived so long. He's got a good following because he takes care of those people. And can I just finish before I get to that? I'll give you my two and my three. But before we get into that, so we take Malcolm to WrestleMania. He gets my phone number because I had to coordinate with him and I had to get him checked into his hotel, you know, all that stuff, because the station wasn't going to do any of that. It was all on me. So I ended up having to give my phone number, and I and Malcolm, listen, if you're listening, man, I love you to death, but he would call and leave 5-minute voicemail messages on my voicemail almost every day, saying hi to my wife, my at one point my kids, and you know, Malcolm, that's just unnecessary. And you would fill up my voicemail, and I would miss important voicemails, and it would say that it was full because you would call and leave a 5-minute voicemail. I appreciate your listening, though. Thank you.
I mean, Bruce, people say you are what you eat. What do you think is in you that attracted those kinds of people?
You know what? It's like some people when they get into a relationship, they like abuse, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think the fact that I don't like many people, you know, that's the thing. I don't know how I'm successful in business, because I just don't like people. Okay, that's part of the deal. But I think because when I do like people, they feel that it's very genuine. I can't fake it. But I also think that some of these people, they were glutton for the punishment, you know?
No, so I don't understand what you're saying at all.
Well, good. And we're going to have to get to the show.
You are fired up. Well, I mean, look, I mean, listen, this is very interesting. This might be the show. I mean, you are losing it, and you still have to give us your number two and number three. So you have Albert and Eric.
No, so Brady's number one because of the personal relationship, and Brady gives us a free spot, you know, on this network. You know, we get to broadcast on VOC Nation, and he welcomed us back with open arms. So just kudos to Brady. Love
him. So Brady has bought the number one spot by his grace with you.
That's right. That's okay. Right. All right, so Albert is number two. And Eric, I like Eric as a person. Well, maybe, I don't know, Namar. I don't know. I'm not saying I don't know that I like him as a person. I do. Eric, so anybody out there, if you were a fan in the old days, there was a company called Wrestling Marks, and they used to, they would do talent at the conventions. So, like, Eric used to bring a lot of the ECW people, China. You guys would know him if you're convention hoppers. And I know all you fans are convention hoppers because that's what you do. So Eric Houck, who ran Wrestling Marks, I think Albert and Eric were both very, very important to VOC Nation back in the old days, because they would go and book the talent. And when you do a show like this, and like Conrad has his team of people, you know, they do all the work for him. You know, they do all the research and put it together, and then he reads through it all.
He never gives them credit.
Yeah, he like mentions to Dave Silva and some of those guys. He'll give him a little bit of credit, but I don't know. I'm not going to crap on Conrad. He's the goat. You know, he took the spot that we got right. And marry Rick.
right. But Eric and Albert, who's number two?
Yep. Hold on, I lost my feed.
VOC Nation is one of the longest running wrestling podcast networks. Having started way back in 2010, VOC Nation provides daily streaming shows where fans have the ability to interact with their hosts and guests via phone calls, emails, and Twitter. VOC Nation hosts also include former WCW performer The Maestro, Pro Wrestling Illustrated contributor Brady Hicks, and former Philadelphia radio personality Bruce Wirt. VOC Nation's two most popular shows are Wrestling with History, featuring Bruce Wirt, and In the Room, featuring Pro Wrestling Illustrated Brady Hicks and WCW alum The Maestro. Guests have included General Adnan, Tito Santana, Haku, Earl Hebner, Dangerous Danny Davis, Jimmy Hart, Ricky Steamboat, Brodus Clay, and so many more. Archived free content includes past interviews with huge names like Hulk Hogan, Jesse Ventura, Kurt Angle, Sting, Mick Foley, Joey Styles, Howard Finkel, and so many more. Listen live at vocnation.com and subscribe to all the podcasts by searching VOC Nation on your favorite podcast app. And be sure to follow these guys on Twitter at VOC Nation.
Can you still hear me okay?
Yes, you're back now.
Okay. Yeah. This is my headset. It's going crazy. It's like Jim Cornette had a problem. There must be something in the air. So Eric and Albert are 2A and 2B because they are part of the team that would get us the guests. Eric,
who is 2B?
What do you mean?
You said they are 2A and 2B. Well, who is 2B?
Okay. All right. Eric has to go above Albert.
Okay. Eric is 2A. Albert is 2B, which really means 3. Okay. So Brady's number 1. Eric's number 2. Brady's number 3. Okay. Second question. Out of those 3, which one wanted my spot the most?
Oh, boy. Eric.
Eric. So, Eric was
Eric, that was a source of contention, if you remember, back in the Philadelphia radio days.
Yeah, he see, I'm you know, it's funny because I know him and Albert were running neck and neck, for sure, at one point in time.
Yeah, Albert, right. So Albert used, so I think Albert and VOC Nation together were, like Albert was useful in the fact that he would go and he would talk to anybody.
Right.
Especially the ladies. But he would talk to anybody and he would book a lot of guests because he just was a hustler. And that was good. And he also used, like, because of VOC Nation, he would get into anything he wanted to get into. And we had, especially in Philadelphia, because of who we were, like, we were treated pretty well by some of the local establishments, if you get what I'm saying. And yes. Albert liked to play that card.
It took me a while to get it. I got it.
Yeah. The local establishments would take care of us.
Mm-hmm.
Just wild. You know, it's just so wild to think that was life.
We almost touched the sun. Almost. what's the reason why you like Eric better than Albert? Like, what makes Eric right above Albert, even though he was the one that wanted my chair the most?
Do we think that people care about this, though? Like, how many people do you think turned off the radio? Or that we don't do radios anymore. We do podcasts. How many people are fast-forwarding saying, get to WrestleMania?
Listen, guys, let Bruce know. Give him the feedback. If it's not interesting, I will adjust. But we will return to this. You're right. We do have to wrap up because we've expended a lot of time and we do have a number of subjects. I actually think
WWHVOC.
Yeah, we might have to push back that last segment if you the last segment and just cap up with the show or cap at this show. You think?
Well, are you talking about like not finish the story of VOC Nation's beginnings?
No, the LJN reviews.
Oh yeah. Well, that's we'll talk about that. Let's talk about that during a break.
Okie dokie.
All right. Okay. So, Lamar, we are now that we're 45 minutes in, we're fast on the road to WrestleMania. And I did a show without you a few days ago, a week ago, I guess, at this point, as people are listening to this. And I was talking about the fact that I am so annoyed by wrestling fans today. Because here's the thing. You're supposed to just either watch the product or don't. And that was my point in the last show that I did. Watch the product or don't. But don't try to control the product. That's what I have a real problem with. If you were watching a TV show, you're not going to like start this major campaign to change the end of the TV show. What are you doing? If they wanted to do Rock and Roman Reigns at WrestleMania, just let them do it.
Well, yeah.
Don't start these campaigns.
See, that that leads into the question, has the loss of kayfabe just gone too far? And also, Bruce, so when you look at this situation and you're, because we talked about this before the show, but the recap is that now The Rock has joined Roman Reigns in some sort of an alliance, and Cody Rhodes is now feuding with the both of them, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So
which where is that leading anyway? I mean, it looks completely. So I love The Rock. I really do. I mean, one of my favorites after Hogan and Bobby Heenan. One of my favorites. I was so excited to see him come back. So excited to have Rock versus Roman Reigns as the main event of WrestleMania. Box office, big time. And I was saying, Namar, on this show for weeks, I was saying, all it is about money. The Rock is only in Hollywood because it's about money. And if they wanted to, the WWE's big business, if they wanted to pay him, they can pay him now, right? I mean, Hollywood, he was making $20 million a movie. Well, you could do that. You could pay him that. He's big time, and you have money from Netflix. But anyway, so I think that they had a story they were building with him and Roman Reigns. It made sense. Who's the head of the bloodline? Who's the head of the family? They go and they stare each other down. They're going to have a match, and it started to really feel tense. And now all of a sudden, they're just friends, and they're together. Like, I can dig it. I can get into it. But clearly, that's not the way they were going, right?
Well, that's the thing. You believe that this is an adjustment from the fan outcry, correct?
Well, I think it's not even just the fans. It's they're catering to the marks. They're catering to, like, I think it's more of an adjustment to, like, Conrad Thompson and Dave LaGreca. Dave LaGreca was pretty much crying on Busted Open every single day, just whining over and over and over again that Cody needs to finish his story. I can't even do the voice. Cody needs to finish his story. Shut up. Shut up. And all the people that knew what they were talking about, Bully Ray, Mark Henry, and Conrad's talking to Eric Bischoff about it. Like, these people would say, yeah, maybe, but let's watch and see where it goes. They could be just telling a longer story. It just annoys me because that got this outcry going across Twitter, X, across the WWE universe, and it got the casual fans to buy in. And I don't think most of the casual fans, the people that just turn on every once in a while and will spend money on the WWE product when it's hot, they don't care about Cody's story finishing at WrestleMania. Why did it have to? Why couldn't it have finished later? I don't think Cody is a major, he's a star, but I don't think he's on the level of The Rock or Roman Reigns.
Can I interject here?
sorry.
You're fine. This is just at a point where I would like to, but no, everything you said was very interesting. I think that the storyline needed to come back to Cody, and this is just from, I'm a super casual because we all know historically I have not liked the modern product, but for the sake of this show and per your encouragement, I did go back and watch the latest Raw, and yes, I thought it was horrible. I thought it was so boring. Horrible. Yes. And we can definitely talk about the reasons why. And interesting.
What was your favorite segment? What was your favorite segment? I think I know why you think it was horrible and why I thought it was great until you started watching. And I think something really significant just happened. So tell me why you thought it was horrible. And then I want to dive into that before we take a break.
Well, the reason why I think it's horrible is it's the rhythm of the wrestlers. And Hulk Hogan actually said it best. And he said that the problem is that all of the guys come through the performance center. So they all have the same rhythm and groove. It's all so choreographed There is no mixture or difference of styles. Everybody is doing the big guys are all going up mostly to the top rope, and it's all the same thing. People don't have any real individuality. I mean, how many guys with stringy hair can they rock that look, that long, greasy, stringy? I mean, you know, that bothers the life out of me. It really does. They've been wearing that for 20 years. It's ridiculous. No, since the 90s. It's ridiculous to wear that. They're completely out of touch with that mess. And you know, and that is where, you know, for as much as I love the WWF and dismiss, you know, the NWA and WCW for a very long time, you know, through immature eyes, that competition, having the smaller independence, people being allowed to develop in different places by different people, that makes a big difference. And this is just horrible to look at. The pacing of it is so, it's so lacking. It's so plastic. And the reason why I liked the segment that stood out to me is when Cody did his promos outside of the encouragement ones, whatever that guy was, he was encouraging. That was just horrible, weak. And I get that Drew McIntyre came in. I mean, he looked like Delta Burke with a mustache or something. Even his hair's all wavy. It's nonsense, you know.
I know what you're talking about with McIntyre looking like Delta Burke.
Yeah, it's. I remember when she cut her hair during the Designing Women years. That's what it looked like to me. And so he's walking around. He's trying to play this ridiculous character, and it's all ridiculous. But Cody, he stands out. And when he got some action in the ring, he stood out to me. And then I realized why. Because Cody grew up and was trained by the old school guys, his father, his brother, and all of the people associated with his father. He learned, he still has his own rhythm. He is different and he moves differently. And I'm going to tell you, that was, I've never seen anything with Cody Rhodes, but I heard his name. I respect and understand why he has a name in wrestling, just like Randy Orton. I've, you know, become familiar with Randy Orton, though I think that I don't know if it's the product or it's him. He's pretty lame to me now. No offense, Randy Orton, because I think he's better than that. There still are these second, third generation guys that have the fortunate benefit of having fathers who were in the business from a different era. And I think Cody stood out to me. And I think that Cody is the only one who can really give The Rock in terms of a physical match rhythmically, he'll give The Rock a good one. Roman Reigns, the storyline is good. Started off bad, got kind of stupid. They rushed it. They didn't build it organically. And so I think Cody is the direction.
Talk about The Rock and Roman Reigns storyline?
Yeah, the way it was introduced, I didn't like it. But with Cody returning, and The Rock and Reigns uniting, I think that that's a better story than the way The Rock versus Roman, because of the way they introduced it. It left a bad taste in everybody's mouth. So what we might look forward to, sometimes I really do hate speculating on, you know, wrestling, and I'm generally wrong 10 out of 10 times, but if I could book something, I would book some kind of way where Cody gets the belt from Reigns and somehow The Rock and Reigns are unable to get it back, and it causes friction between those two, which leads to true heat behind each other, which leads to a match with them. I think that's the only way they can salvage that and let Cody ride at top.
Yeah, so I think, and I said this in the last episode too, I think that is the best way to kind of get closure from this. So you build towards, Rock and Roman are allies, and then you build a long build to next WrestleMania, and you do the major match between Rock and Roman Reigns then. You know, the big split in the bloodline. But
right.
I want to go back to something that you said. So you talked about Raw not being as good as I had, because I'm pretty much like you. I don't love the current product as much as I love the product of the 80s, where I grew up. sounds weird because I don't like the cartoony stuff like that Vince was trying to book.
Whoa. When
Vince,
Bro. What do you mean the cartoony stuff? Now we need to clarify because I get very defensive when people say the cartoony stuff in the 80s, when if you really think about it, wrestling started as a carnival sideshow attraction. You know, giants and dwarves
hillbillies.
Yeah, and flopping around and all of the other nonsense, missing links and wild men. Wrestling has always been cartoony, if you really want to go there. I mean, there are degrees, you know, once you start having trash men, we do have a problem. Yeah. And Adam, and full-on clowns and makeup and attire. Like, there's limits, but that's not the 80s. You can't claim that as the 80s. In the 80s, you know, they had some problems, but it was no different than the previous years. Bruce, you can go online and see people wrestling bears, and you tell me that's not stupid.
No, well, I understand. I'm just saying that so when I say cartoony, I'm talking about that. I'm talking about like Doink the Clown. I'm talking about Duke the Dumpster Drosy. I'm talking about that kind of stuff. They grew to, like in the 80s, when I'm talking about the 80s, I'm talking about like 83, 84, 85, 86, 87, went 88, and then it started to get like Papa Shango and even The Undertaker. It worked out well, but like I can't really suspend my disbelief. I can't really feel like, oh, this is real. It's sport. I want to watch this. And
no, but that those are all good points. But when is that? That's the 90s. That's not the 80s. And don't get me wrong, Akeem is stupid. You know, and I remember legitimately being very confused because I did not understand that. I couldn't figure out. And I was fully in the kayfabe mood at that time. And so I was like, wait a minute, there's this, you know. But then it's funny, then you know about some North Africans, you know, they're whiter than some people from Hungary, you know, that mixture of the Mediterranean. But, you know, but at the time I was like, wait a minute, he's from Africa.
As an African American man, how did you feel about like the whole deepest, darkest Africa? Like that's insulting, isn't it? I mean, that is racist. I don't know any other way to say it. I mean, that was just not a great move by WWE. But now we know who Vince is, right?
No, but you know, that is the crux of some things, because, you know, especially the 84, 85 era, that was really the last of when, you know, wrestlers would bring race heavily into stuff. Like you think about the stuff that Roddy Piper would insinuate to Mr. T, the things that were said to Junkyard Dog. The only last remaining aspect of that, which is hard because I've always liked the character, but I always knew that it was a problem as well, was Kamala, you know, because, you know, but then you can take, it depends on how you would look at a George the Animal Steel. Like, so is he a mentally deficient person or is he a Caucasian wild man?
Right, right. But they don't call him from deepest, darkest Europe or something. You know what I mean?
But that's what I'm saying. It depends on how you can look at it or what's being portrayed.
Lightest, brightest Europe.
Yeah, you know, it. So, you know, I mean, we get it. It's the thing that I did not like about, say, like a Kamala was the just because those people might dress like that, some people in certain tribes still, you know, dress the way they've dressed for hundreds of years, it does not mean they can't comprehend basic life skills. It's absurd, you know.
And all of a sudden, like you see, like in the 90s, they made him forget how to pin people. Like all of a sudden, he's turning people over the wrong way. Do you remember that?
Yeah, that those are the things that are ridiculous. But I'll be honest with you, Bruce, I've lived long enough at the 44 years to realize that if I didn't like anything because of, well, there's degrees, and yes, the wrestling has pushed things to certain limits, but they haven't pushed so far yet that I can say, okay, I'm done. And I see efforts, times have changed, but then again, they're not, because the New Day looked ridiculous. I was disgusted when they came down, you know, what's the little fellow with his hair, like with like my niece wears her hair like that, Kofi Kingston, you know, he and he's bouncing around, and I mean, it's a mess. Watching them was a mess.
So anyway, the point that I was trying to make, circling back, is that the reason I was telling you to watch Raw is, and what I think was happening lately, you know, in the last year, was they really started to build the mid card and the women to a point where the whole show was watchable. It's not just one or two matches or the very top of the card. The whole show was good. It was like back in the Crash TV or Monday Night Raw, Vince Russo era. And, I think what's happened lately is they've put so much focus on the main event. They're almost turning the other stuff into just a cartoon. And I don't like that. Like the Judgment Day, did you see that? Did that stand out to you? The Judgment Day?
Nothing did. I can only remember the guy that needed encouragement that lost the match with Delta Burke. I skipped all of the female matches. I have no interest in watching women's wrestling. God bless you all that do. It just doesn't work for me. Sensational Sherry at the side of the ring is enough for me. That's the most I ever needed to see. And China. China was okay to a degree. And but that's pretty much it. And that Cody Rock, the Barbarian guy, like, you know, that's the thing I wanted to ask you, Bruce. You know, talking about, you know, me being a Black man, I wanted to know, you know, they were playing the Viking, and I know you're of, you know, half Nordic descent and Chinese. So how do you feel about the fact that they were playing up the Nordic race as being these wild Viking,
you know, I get savages? It. I know what you're saying. Well, that's fair. That's fair. I mean, people have called.
No. I was being legitimate. First of all, I was making a joke because you're not half. You're not. That's not where your lineage is from. So no, it was strictly a joke, and I did not even do that. You know, I agree with what your assessment was of the deepest, darkest Africa, but you were asking me to what matches I enjoyed, and that popped up in my head. I didn't remember that match, but I'm trying to remember. So I didn't have any intent other than, you know, to make a joke out of it. But you know, yeah, that was silly to me because it, you know.
Stupid. I hate the Viking Raiders. I hate them.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
I'm not offended by them, but I hate them.
Well, you know, it's too implausible today. People were still naive to a very big degree, and you know, during those years of, you know, Nikita Koloff and the Iron Sheik and characters like that, you know, the country and the world was more naive. We're not those people anymore. So when you're coming in dressed in this gear and acting like it's 15 so-and-so or whatever, whenever the Vikings, you know, were at their strength or the stereotypical Vikings, it's ridiculous. It's too implausible. It's absurd. And that's what always gets me with the criticism of, you know, especially the people that love these ridiculous eras, anything post 92 or you know, in some of 91, your criticism of the 80s is completely invalid because everything from there on was equally more absurd. I mean, you had you know, Stone Cold sneaking into hospitals and beating Vince McMahon up with bedpans. You know, it's all silly. It's all, wrestling has always been silly. They've been throwing fireballs for how long? You know, who throws a fireball?
That's fair. And mist. I mean, the green mist from the Great Muda and Nakamura. But anyway, the mid card. Yeah. That was strong, and then the Judgment Day will, you know, doing their thing on Raw. It was just entertaining. And I think all of the action has risen to the main event. They've been bitten by the injury bug. CM Punk going down hurts a lot in terms of, I think, where they were going and what they were building towards. So, you know, it's not as hot, I think, as it was, the product, but this is a great time for wrestling. I think wrestling is as hot as it's been since the Attitude Era. And you do have so many great main event personalities in the mix. So if they do the right thing and they don't get twisted by the fans, and listen, I'm somewhat kidding. You know, I love Conrad Thompson. I love Dave LaGreca. I listen to that stuff like anybody else. But I think that allowing the true hardcore marks to drive the bus on your product, you're going to end up like Tony Khan, where you have a product that never grows. A million people, give or take, watch it, and it's just matches. And you cannot let the hardcore convention-going wrestling fan to decide what you're going to do. They're just the loudest people in the audience, but they don't make up the majority of your audience. You understand that?
Absolutely. I mean, that's been my rallying call for the longest time. And I fought that very much so, because they are loud, and it's sort of like how people mistake loud people on Twitter with certain movements that don't really buy your product, but you're trying to appease them, but they don't really buy your product, or they're not able to take your product to the next level. And they end up alienating the people who will. And so, you know, these guys, and I think, you know, to wrestling's credit, how these people remain global superstars is beyond me, but the wrestling business has passed me. But I think one thing we can look at in terms of its lack of excitement and just the overall sentiment, despite those people, is that wrestling needs something different. It's taken the blessing and completely perverted it, and it's the same thing, the way, you know, Bruce, you like professional sports, basketball, baseball, and how analytics ruined the excitement and the fun to a degree. You know, everybody can shoot a three now. You know, you touch the guy and you're in trouble. And so, you know, I think to the same degree is why wrestling is trash today. It's because it's too homogenized. And I think that's why I'm very defensive of, you know, the era that might have set that chain reaction off. But it's not the 80s fault that people didn't know how to manage it better, or we allowed degenerates to change culture. It's not the 80s fault. It's our fault. And it's up to us to make that change. And, you know, that's why, you know, we need to stop. People who know better need to stand up and say better. The problem is that too many people have walked away, and we've let the inmates run the asylum. And it really has hurt the product. And like you said to me many times before, that's why, you know, they pushed John Cena down people's throats instead of really changing things up to redevelop the product into something worthwhile. And we're just seeing the ill effects of that. And I mean, it's rough. That product was rough to watch for me. Only one exciting segment.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called Pi, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level. The who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know.
Trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to podcasts on.
Yeah, podcast, homecasts.
Your podcasting apparatus. Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
Have you ever experienced turbulence on a flight and wondered why?
And you can see all the terrain around you. You've got no issue with visibility or anything?
No, everything's peachy.
Maybe you've sat on the tarmac for hours wondering why your plane isn't moving.
Well, we're outside here. They're saying the ramp is closed. They won't let us park because of Air Force One.
Listen in on the conversations between pilots and air traffic controllers on the Air Traffic Out of Control podcast.
510 is declaring an emergency. There's smoke in the cabin. I need to make a landing right now on 31 left.
We have the most interesting, wild, and funny ATC recordings you will ever hear. Check out Air Traffic Out of Control wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
That's interesting. But you do like Cody. And I mean, where do you see it going in WrestleMania? Obviously, I don't know if you saw this, but on SmackDown, The Rock came out to a very nice ovation and went completely heel. So he's not just leaning into the heel Rock. He is heel. I mean, you know, crapping on the fans, announcing that he's part of the bloodline. And the thing that's interesting to me is, you know, and you could see this at the WrestleMania kickoff press conference or whatever it was. It's not a press conference if there's no press, but he was out front. Roman Reigns has been clearly the biggest dog in the yard in the WWE and in the bloodline for years. And he's been the champion for 3 years. Nobody can beat him. The Rock was out in front. Roman was standing back, and The Rock was stealing the camera. You know, camera's over here. It's my show. And when he went out and did the segment on SmackDown, he was the alpha in that bloodline. So it's like, to me, I don't know what happens with this WrestleMania, but they can't do things too quickly. That's what I'm afraid of. I don't want them to have The Rock turn on Roman Reigns at this year's WrestleMania and it all wraps up in one, you know, quick 2 month thing. I want The Rock to be part of the WWE picture for the next year. And I want a slow build. I want, like, almost like Hogan Savage. It took, you know, how it took a year, right? Almost 2 years. I want that. And I want there starts to be seeds of discontent. And then, I mean, to me, that's where The Rock turns face for next year's WrestleMania. And then you have that match, but maybe it's not for the title, because by that point, Cody has the title. But I don't know how it's going to happen. I mean, how is this year's WrestleMania going to happen? And then how do you build towards that? Or do you think they're going to screw it up and just try it all at the same time?
Well, I think the thing is, Bruce, is that at this point, you're really going to have to take your, excuse me, your own advice, because if you do believe that the fans have caused the change, then this is just the course that we're on. So the best way to get over it is just to accept it and learn to, you have to flip it. So you have to learn to anticipate, well, they've messed it up. Let me see what they're going to do. They're going to turn it into something, you know, they're going to entertain me, or they're going to do something stupid. So you learn to anticipate to see which way it's going to go. That's the only way. I mean, unless the product is so terrible that you can't watch it, but you reverse it. And so you have to find the silver lining in what are they going to do because of what your belief system is. For me, I think that's how I'm looking at it, because already I don't like it. And even though I can appreciate some aspects of some of the things that I saw on Raw, it still remains, and this is the problem between, again, kayfabe is important, and we don't have that. So we know that The Rock being heel doesn't work because he has a very public persona, and it's of this nice guy. He's always smiling all broadly, and he's always got the button-up shirt, you know. I mean, he's always, you know, trying to appear as this all-American great guy that everybody loves in his movie. So when he comes out and he's talking trash, it's very unrealistic. And I think that that's what worked for you know, Hulk Hogan always played the good guy when he did his movies. And when a wrestler is able to do a movie or something, like even when they did, I think it was Baywatch with them, they all play, whoever was a good guy played a good guy. Hogan, Savage, Sting, and the bad guys were Flair, Vader, and Kevin Sullivan, like the real bad guys that were current at the time. So you could blend into the idea a little bit better than per se a situation where we know he's standing out there with Oprah pleading very hard for people to donate, poor people, donate your money to this foundation for the people of Maui. You know, we know who he is. So his persona is too public. So it's already ruined for me. So I'm a step out of it, but I'm just looking to see where they're going to go, because since we've been doing the show, I've truly never completely enjoyed the product, but I have found some silver linings and seen where it's going to go. And that would not be enough to, the only thing that will sustain me watching periodically is the fact that as long as we continue to do the show, unless something really picks up. But, you know, in the meantime, I have to find a silver lining, and that's what makes it interesting.
All right, so you mentioned that you said a lot there. So, do you think that this will be a long build towards a Rock Roman match in next WrestleMania? That's part one. Remember that question. Yeah. Number two is I've heard all of the scuttlebutt about The Rock and Oprah asking for money for Maui. I don't see the big deal. Sally Struthers used to ask for money for the kids in Ethiopia, and she had money too. But what's the big deal? I mean, they're donating their own money, and they're also saying, hey, will you help these people who are in need? It's like any other GoFundMe type effort. Why was that such a big deal?
Well, Bruce, that wasn't my point. That actually was my point, is that his public persona is that of someone who is caring, friendly, and fun. So
had a big problem with that. I don't understand.
But okay, hold that thought for a second. But that's the reason why him turning heel now doesn't work, because he has too public a persona, just what you're talking about. Because you're one of those people who receive him as that you didn't think anything wrong about it. But that's the point. There are lots of people who feel the way you do. It's a public persona of good, of pleading on behalf of people, in defense of people. So, you know, why people had an issue with it, it's the way the world is. People are under a lot of pressure nowadays. And people are resenting the rich in many different fashions. There's a lot of resentment because the middle class is eroding. So, you know, people have always been vicious that way, but that sentiment probably comes from our current economic state and, you know, our nosedive as a culture and a country right now.
Yeah. can't disagree with that.
Stop listening to the liberals and Cornette people. They're ridiculous. They have no idea what they're talking about.
Well, I won't touch that. I won't touch politics, but I will say that it did cost quite a bit more money in 2023 to go to the grocery store.
I know, Bruce. I mean, think about it. For you, I mean, your kids live off a steady diet of chicken nuggets and French fries. And I mean, you know, where in the universe, you know, and you buy in bulk. I know you guys are Costco people.
Yeah.
So, you know, 20 pounds of nuggets, you know, and the price keeps going up, you know, and all the French fries. It's what are you going to do? Dustin needs his nuggets.
Yes, he does. Yes, he does. Otherwise, how's he going to help Cody in the match against the Bloodline? Rock versus Roman WrestleMania 41. You keep avoiding it. Yes or no?
I don't know. And honestly, Bruce, I don't care enough to have an opinion. I'm mildly interested in what I said was enough that I have to give to this. can't give any more thought to this. That's how bad the product is that I think that the only salvageable thing they could do is that Cody and Reigns fight. Rock really is expecting Reigns to win. Cody triumphs. Reigns continues to try to win the title back, but loses. Rock gets frustrated, and then Rock and Reigns feud. And then Cody might go on to somebody else to hold the title. And that's as far as I can really go with it. That's enough. But I'm generally wrong 10 out of 10 times with modern stuff. So I don't expect that, but let's see.
Now they want Roman to exceed the Hulk Hogan championship run, right? That's been something that we've heard for quite a while. He's on that pace. So I got to ask you, does it hurt or help Cody Rhodes as a supreme babyface if he goes there to WrestleMania and doesn't win the title because The Rock, whatever happens, the Roman, I don't think they'd beat him clean. But, you know, remember, Dusty used to get close to the top of the mountain and he could never cross, right? He could never get that big win. He won the NWA title a few times, but for the most part, Dusty's career was defined by the chase, right?
Right.
So do you think that if they don't let him win and finish the story at this year's WrestleMania, do you think that it hurts him and people just get tired of the character and say, all right, let's look at something else because this guy's not good enough to win?
Honestly, Bruce, no. Because I think that the people who are interested and even the outliers who might be interested in this story, I think that it doesn't matter. We are at the wrestling has a low plateau. And I think we're living in one of those where it's like it's stabilized low. They're functional, operational, not reaching, you know, their full potential. So I think that these people that are invested, I'm only invested because of the show. And I'm finding
crazy, man. This is the best that the product has been in 25 years.
Well, that's amazing for you to say. And I really wish we had a large enough audience at where we could poll them to see if they agree with you. You know, but I'm not one to speak because I haven't watched a lot of it. And I only really watch stuff, you know, these last couple of years, you know, because of the show, when I was ever involved with the show. But I like,
you're gonna have to do it.
Yeah, but I don't mind it. But listen, I enjoy spending time with you on the radio.
Oh, look at that. Yeah,
so
me too.
So with place that exactly. So with that, you know, and talking about wrestling is also, you know, that's a big love of mine, a big passion. I love and I've grown in thought regarding professional wrestling and the beauty of the art form and the rhythm of the act and the performance and the way it's able to stimulate people. I really love all of that. So, you know, it's not much. I just have to find a way to reverse it, my displeasure. So you find what you can find. And I mean, it is at a low. I was only able to appreciate Cody because he has the rhythm of old school guys. And you can see the difference. Yeah. His rhythm is different. And but yeah, it's not good to me. It really isn't. And, you know, they need a big time adjustment. Everybody needs to cut that hair, first of all. You know.
Well, that's true. That's true. Little less tattoos, little different hair. Come on.
Yeah, it's a clown show. I mean, you know, it's ridiculous. And honestly, I don't know how they would do it. And I know that they would not. It has to be forced upon them in a business situation where maybe somebody else can come up or more people can come up and break this system, and systems can be broken. The WWF in all of its power and glory does not mean that it's permanently sustainable, even though it's reached a cultural, you know, evergreen, you know, in a sense. you know, evergreens can last for hundreds of years and still fade, you know? So it's going to take differences. And again, it's almost an analogy for the world. The world functions better when every race learns to get along and bring all of their different rhythms and grooves and tradition. It makes for a great, it gives you more variety to look at, to experience, to say, oh, wow, look at these people, how they do that, you know, but we're all brothers and sisters. And so, you know, it that's what wrestling needs. It's too homogenized and you can see it. And so for me, I don't care. I'm just going along with it until good or bad, just checking it out. I won't watch every week, though.
All right. Before we get out of here, Vince McMahon, we know the civil charges. We've heard all about that. Right. Now you have the feds involved. They've raided his home. Where's this going? Is Vince going to do time?
Well, you know what? I'm going to tell you, I personally can't see it. I don't even know if it's something criminal. And to be honest with you, I'm starting to get annoyed with, like, yes, Vince McMahon is a creep in a lot of different ways if these allegations are true. But if these allegations are true, I really have a problem with not giving this woman agency and always giving her, I know that's become a popular sentiment where we're just giving her the victim card just because he's a man of power. But unless he did it, he forced his, you know, forced her against her will. She willingly did that. And we have to recognize that some people will sell themselves, right or wrong, into disgusting and embarrassing situations. We have a whole porn universe in this world right now, and people are out there and humiliating and degrading themselves on camera eternally for the world to see. People with children, it's more and more news is coming out there. How many children are getting upset because kids find out that this other kid's mother is on OnlyFans? We live in a highly pornographic world, and people,
well, teachers too. I mean, how many teachers? Imagine if you when we went to school. Imagine, I mean, I don't know about any of the teachers that we would have wanted to see OnlyFans back in those days.
Well, you and that English, that early morning English teacher.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
We had to write a diary every day. You remember that? We used to get our diary from the milk in high school.
She
really intrigued you.
The milk crate. Yeah.
She told
me to ask her to die one time.
I remember that. And for those that didn't hear because your phone messed up, she told Bruce to F off because he was annoying her. But she hated me.
Did it go out? Did it go out as a second?
Yeah, you were muffled just now and again. Say something.
Yes. How about now?
It's okay. Not as good as it could be, but it's okay.
Okay. Well, hopefully.
We can work with this. Yeah, we can work with this.
Okay.
But remember one time you told me that you had a dream that you were sucking on her neck. Whatever that fold was. That you were really going to town on it, and you said you didn't know if you were, you know, disgusted with yourself or if you liked it. So, you know, I mean, either which way, people are into all kinds of freaky stuff, and people will sell their souls, and people do it fine, and people consume it fine. So I think that, and we live in a world where women want full agency and full autonomy. And I believe in that. You know, maybe not completely the way some of them might think I believe in it, but I do believe in it to a very high degree. And I think that responsibility and accountability means something. And so I know people, it's PC and to really, you know, but people have to be responsible. And so honestly, Vince McMahon is a freak. I'm like, well, okay, well, again, we have a whole huge porn universe that's easily accessible, and a lot of our listeners are heavily involved in that world.
Doing Right, and doing some of that same stuff. Like, that stuff sounds disgusting to us. And I've heard more and more of these takes, so I think people are more comfortable saying this. And I'm not saying that I agree with this, right? I think that I've already said I have a daughter. I think this is horrible. It's disgusting. But I do think you have to leave room for the possibility that she was subscribing to, you know, she was signing up. She was equally interested in what was happening at the time. That has to be out there as a possibility until we can prove that it's not. The text messages show what Vince was saying, but we don't know that she was not telling him that she was all in, right?
Right. And that's the thing, you know, short of it being against her will, sometimes, you know, when do we call on people to stand up for what's right and also their own dignity? And I get it. We all have fallen short. But just like I have to be responsible, and it doesn't mean that she doesn't deserve grace. But at the same time, it's like, it's hard for me to get as excited as everybody else, because to me, that's just like, let's be real, man. I've lived long enough and know many different people. I've seen many things and I've done many things. You know, I'm not innocent either. So, you know, I know how the world is, and I know that that these people just got exposed, you know, but they really, the world is freaked up and freaked out. So I'm not surprised.
Well, we know.
Yeah.
We know the world doesn't move to the beat of just one drum. You know, what might be right for you,
that's right,
might not be right for some. A man is born. He's that's a right. man of dreams. But along came two.
That's right.
They had nothing but the genes. We got different strokes.
That's right.
They move the world. Yes, they do. Different strokes move the world.
Everybody's got some special kind of story. Everybody find a way to shine. Come on, sing it with Bruce. It don't matter what they got.
That you got.
Not a lot.
Not a lot.
So what? They'll have theirs and you'll have yours and I'll have mine. Do-do-do-do-do. Together we'll be fine. Come on, man. You were supposed to sing that along with me.
I couldn't do it. I couldn't do it. I couldn't do it. You take the good, you take the bad, you take the both, and you have facts of life. All right, we got to get out of here. Let's follow this. Let's see what happens. Maybe Vince McMahon goes to jail. Maybe he doesn't. I'm not so sure that this is as it seems, but clearly Vince is a very deranged man. There's no doubt about that. So we'll continue to follow it. Thanks for hanging with us.
You know, Bruce, hold on. We never, you know, it's funny. We never got to Billy Jack Hayes.
We got to do it. Before we
you, want, you have time?
I got time. All I got is time. I'm in between houses right now. So we've sold our house. We're moving quite a long way away. I'm not going to tell you crazy people where I'm going, but we're in a temporary spot with my mother-in-law. So I don't have my setup. I don't have my microphone. I don't have my makeshift studio. So thanks for hanging with the quality issues. I'm sitting in the car outside because we're in a very small place, and I tend to be boisterous when I do these shows. So thank you for hanging along, and please put the positive vibes in your review on Spotify or Apple iTunes or wherever you listen. Give us 5 stars. Give us the review. Tell us that you appreciate that I'm sitting out as we record this close to midnight in the dark in my car on a phone. So you, please.
You are going to sleep so good tonight. Like... You're gonna go in there and just pass out. I mean, you are in a mood today.
It's been a tough week.
Do you
I had another surgery? Ahead. They ripped off my nipple and sewed it back on, trying to get it, you know, one more time.
Dude,
surgery where they went in there and it hasn't been the same since.
You are boiling. Like you are boiling. Let me ask you something. Do you go get a massage, like from, like, you know, like Hand in Stone, one of those places that's a chain out around these areas?
Yeah. I used to be a member at Massage Envy. They're not a sponsor, but But yeah, love a good massage.
Well, you need to go get one because you are bubbling, my friend.
I actually just said to my wife that I was overdue. Need the relaxation.
Yeah, man. And you gotta have some date nights. I know you guys are in between stuff, but make your time and you got to fall into each other. That's what a marriage is for. So take your time and don't think that you can't make it happen, because you can, and it'll be worth it. You'll be better for it, despite what you think you can't do. So
maybe that's part of the problem. I don't know. But I don't know if it was a problem for Billy Jack Haynes either. I mean, this guy murdered his wife. I'm not making light of this, but like, all you had to do was listen to a shoot interview or two of Billy Jack for the last 15 years. Completely off the train. And sounds like he had an awful life. Did you hear some of the stories about his childhood?
No. You know what? I never listened to those. I've listened to some shoots with them. I've seen him with the bowl cut.
Yeah. You know, terrible haircut. Yeah.
Cornette said that he looked like an old prospect. that was funny. That haircut was wild. And this is what's weird, Bruce. So I recently, and I'm telling you, this is the God's honest truth. The week before he murdered his wife, I had decided to start watching.
That's more funny. I don't know why I'm laughing.
Well, because it's just us. Like we are almost pariahs. It's like people get around us and then they end up dead or in trouble, or it's something about, you know, it all stems from Cameron. Remember what did he wish when he did the thing with Mae Young, and we thought that was hilarious?
Oh, completely damaged.
Yes. What did he say to Mae Young?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He like wished you're dead or something like that. I forget what he's. I forget what it was, but it was totally unintentional, and he.
Right.
I have to find that.
And yeah, so ever since then, it's and Brady might remember, because Brady was really tickled by that, and because I don't remember which one of you guys. I think Brady might have been the one that noticed that first, and so ever since then, it's just been all downhill with the energy around us. So the week prior, because I really like Billy Jack Haynes' match at WrestleMania 3. I mean, he had an impressive look. He was a great worker, and he had one of the best and easiest press slams I've ever seen in my life. I don't think he was technically a precursor to the Ultimate Warrior, but you could see that he had a lot of potential in that idea of what Vince liked in terms of a look,
yeah,
and strength and character. And he had a subdued personality. Like he, you know, he couldn't go all the way to the top because he probably didn't have enough personality, but he was a talent. And the week before, somebody had posted in one of the wrestling groups a Facebook reel of him versus Harley Race, and that entire match is actually up on YouTube, and it's one of the best matches that I've ever seen in my life. I mean, Harley is brilliant, and see, this is what people say, oh, talk about this era being cartoony. Yeah, King Harley Race is stupid. But at the very least, Harley Race is a major talent. He actually was able to make it work, and he had some great matches. And because of his association with the WWF at the time, he gets the distinction and the honor for somebody that is such a legend, just like him, Bruno Sammartino, that they were immortalized in the LJN line. So they were a part of wrestling history, and they were immortalized in the most important wrestling line of all time, because that was the first one. So either which way, yeah. I really enjoyed the match. Billy Jack Haynes, a couple of days later, shoots his wife. And I'm just like, I was all prepped to talk about him with you in a positive way, and then this happened. So there you go. So I mean, and this is the thing, I've been desperately waiting for a Billy Jack Haynes figure, and I knew it was slim to none because he was a part of that lawsuit. Now. Yeah, there's no way now. I'd have to wait for somebody to custom. So if any of our 12 listeners knows any customizers who could make me a WWE Elite Billy Jack Hayes figure, please, you know, have them reach out to Bruce and they can contact me.
There you go. Follow us on Twitter at WWHVOC. The DMs are open, so you can send us DMs. That's a good way to communicate, too, if you want to interact with the show. I'm thinking about, so Namar, Brady takes calls, and I think all of our old callers, even though I insulted every single one of them back in the beginning of the show, I think they would still call us if we allowed. Like, I think you and I should do, for old time's sake, a live version of the podcast and take calls.
You know what would be funny if you did that and nobody called in?
Well, I mean, we had, I remember, we used to have our top audience that we could see on the internet, because you couldn't see the radio audience, of course, at WNJC, but we could see the internet audience and the podcast. And we had about 115,000 was our top in 2011, I think it was. But we would get the same damn callers, and it would frustrate the hell out of me.
Well, Bruce, we know Patricia's out. Right. We know, but we only had four callers. We had Patricia, we had Chris, we had Tara, and we had Malcolm. So who do you think you
staples?
Can... Yeah. I mean, you well, know,
in fairness to the rest of the world, WNJC only had two phone lines. So if these and Malcolm would never hang up, he'd listen to the show on the phone. So instead of and use our 800 number too. So we're paying the bill for this. Instead of just listening on the internet like everybody else, he listened on the phone and would stay on the line so nobody else could call.
It was an endless cycle of nonsense. I mean, listen, you guys broke Bruce in all of your innocence, because they were innocent people, and in all of their innocence. You know, that's the thing of living in a fallen universe, that where even innocent people have a heavy cost. And a big
I wasn't goal. Even nice to them back in those days. I was listening. We were driving somewhere, and I was with my wife, and I had, you know, we're doing the show now, and I'm back into it. I'm as engaged in this stuff as I have been in 15 years. Right. And I'm listening, my wife's listening, and she's like, "You're being so mean to this." Like, it was the one where I put Malcolm on hold for the entire show. Do you remember that?
No.
I took his call when it first started, and right. I said, "I'm going to put you on hold." For he started doing his thing. "Hey, Bruce, I went to Frankenstein's and I got 16 signatures of whole coke." Like, so I said, "Malcolm, I'm going to put you on hold. I'll come right back to you." And then, like, 10 minutes later, I'd come back and say, "Hey, Malcolm, you still there?" "Yeah, Bruce. Okay, I'm going to come back to you in a little bit." And then we went to the end of the show, and I told him we ran out of time.
And, wait. Did she find that amusing at all?
Well, you know, my wife is a sweet person. You know, the opposite. So she found it hard to listen to, you know, hard to stomach.
she was thinking, "What a crummy guy I married," you know.
Well, right, and I was like thinking about how I used to present myself back in these days in the dating scene, and I would not present myself as a nice person, you know. I think on the inside, you know, the real me. I'd like to think that I'm a nice person. I love Jesus. I go out of my way to help people. I'm a little bit reserved, you know. I don't like to communicate with a whole lot of people that I don't have to communicate with, even though I'm a public figure that gets paid to communicate with people. I'm a nice person. I'm genuine. I say what's on my mind. But I was just a jerk back in those days. And like, we would go to the piano bar, and I would just, my ego was the size of the room, and I would wonder why I couldn't get these nice women to, you know, hang out with me a little bit more. And now I get it. I was a jerk.
You're a very angry person. Well, it's funny that you sharing that truth, because I had deduced that after many years of, you know, reflection of what the hell is wrong with this guy. Like, I can look back and see this huge transformation. Like, I mean, it's funny how success can expose deep insecurities if you're not prepared for it. And I'll tell you the difference probably for me versus you, because I was definitely more self-contained during that era. But see, I love entertainment. And you know that I read books. You know that I'm a fan of music. You know that I get deeply involved into the business side of things. And so I was already aware of what pitfalls and everything that comes from, you know, having some level of fandom and awareness. And I saw that even on, you know, even small levels, how it can go awry. So I was already prepared not to let those things bother me. And I think that's what, you know, in a way, not tooting my own horn, because, you know, I have issues just like everybody else, but I think that that's what separated me. Like, I didn't carry that the ego stuff around. I was just about, hey, let's have fun and be successful. You guys were going through emotional, you know, emotional damage. It was a whole thing going on watching you guys. It was unreal. I'm like, man, we only have 3 listeners. Stop it. Like, calm down. Like, you know, like you said, it's like it turned into like an E-True Hollywood story. Like, listen, we are not the Eagles and we're not on the road in 1977. Like, stop it. There's no albums on the charts or whatever. Like, come on.
Well, but it was so much more than I think we gave ourselves credit. Like, we had an incredible base. We would have those shows that popped over 100,000, and we would go to conventions and everybody knew who we were. I mean, that was, and it is difficult to handle that when you're not wired to handle that.
Well, yeah, I mean, because we would get to the conventions, and when you would smooge, that would you would start making your way. You didn't always do it, but when you did, that would infuriate me. I'm like, where the hell is he? We're supposed to be doing a show. And I would get frustrated, and it would lead to me almost in a way snapping. I mean, that's the one time Ted DiBiase got mad at me, and Stevie Nicks got mad at me at that convention.
Andrew Richards.
No, I know Stevie Nicks. And so, you know, he was all mad at me. And I mean, and he's a blocker too. I mean, I never liked him. You know, that's one thing. You know, Blue Meanie, always nice, great guy. I know they love each other, they're great friends, and they definitely look out for each other. But Blue Meanie, nice guy, much respect to him. Stevie Nicks, not so much. Very, very nasty guy. He's a blocker, definitely, in a way. He had an issue with me. I never knew who he was because I never watched ECW and his limited time in WWF, you know, hanging off with Blue Meanie's, you know, hanging off his back. I'll say it like that. But yeah, so, you know, but you guys, even still, even with all of that, it's like, relax. You would think, again, we're not Ric Flair and Arn Anderson and the Crockett's on the private jet. Like, relax. What is everybody?
We were almost there. We were almost there.
Yeah, but you guys were out of control in the fight for second chair. Oh my gosh. That is the untold story.
Money in the miles. Before we get out of here, I want to thank, now that we covered Billy Jack, I do want to thank, we are number 19 this week on the charts, and we're ahead, Namar, of Talk is Jericho, ahead of the Kurt Angle Show, we're ahead of, I'm looking at Stories with Briscoe and Bradshaw, we're ahead of Grill and JR, we're ahead of What Happened When, Tony Schiavone Show, we're ahead of Ryback, so lots of shows that we're ahead of, right?
But nobody cares. What more does Tony Schiavone have to say? What more does JR have to say? JR is a phony. Nobody really cares. You know, the people that would side with that fool, you know, he's a legend, but who cares? What more is he going to say?
We're only 3 shows behind Eric Bischoff on the charts. 83 weeks.
Worldwide.
But tomorrow, this is not in America. I am talking about the great Chinese people. They love themselves wrestling with history. Thank you to the people in China. Hundreds of you are downloading the show every single day. I appreciate it. I saw 736 Chinese downloads just yesterday.
Xi Jinping approves.
He does. Right. Right now, I probably hit an algorithm and we'll get rejected in China. But I support all of you, the people in China that love wrestling and love what we do, which is, you know, half wrestling, half inside baseball, half comedy, or something like that. But keep listening. We're certainly better than Chris Jericho, Kurt Angle, and of course, Tony Giovanni. Who listens to that?
Well, Bruce, I think, honestly, I think that I have to give you a lot of credit for, you know, keeping our fan base, because your sacrifice of not taking your medication on the nights we record really leads to some wonderful conversations.
It's amazing.
You get the going. And, you know, I mean, but you know, this was a very good show. I had a lot of fun speaking with you tonight. It's nice to see the ranking. We know Brady, you know, we're going to give him a little gold star and put it in the middle of his forehead. He is number one in your book, followed by Eric and then Albert at number three. And we had a great discussion on Cody and The Rock. We thank you all for joining us today. Bruce is going to sleep well, everybody. And I'll let you send us off, Bruce.
Hit my music.
America.
Voice of Choice Wrestling Nation, heard worldwide on VOCNation.com. The Insane Clown Posse.
We can't thank all you guys enough. Whoop, whoop.
We understand our audience, and we give them what we think they would want.
We're about pleasing the fans.
Road Warrior Hannibal. Jake the Snake Roberts.
The wrestling has changed so much.
Conan.
Yo, this is K-Dog. Yo, with Bowdy Bowdy and Rowdy Rowdy.
Hall of Fame ring announcer Howard Finkel.
Brilliance was Bobby Heenan's middle name.
Lex Luger. God's giving me a whole new perspective on wrestling and the fans. WWE Hall of Famer Jimmy Superfly.
But, thanks for having me on your radio show from the Jersey Shore.
The legendary Diamond Dallas.
Bang!
Voice of Choice Wrestling Nation.
I put my name in, but again, we're just waiting for a phone call.
You could be Moroccan, Algerian, Albanian, Greek.
This is the best crowd I've ever seen in my entire life.
I love cheesecake.
I don't even know how to respond to his lunacy.
Malcolmania.
And I don't think Hollywood's ready for Malcolmania, but we'll wait and see.
Jim the Anvil Neidhart.
Your talk show here that I'm doing here is the best one.
Jimmy Hart.
I've been lucky every day I get up and look in the mirror and pinch myself.
The ninth wonder of the world, China.
I told Vince, I said, yeah, I'm going to wrestle the guys. And that's how it started.
X-Pac.
We're wrestlers, and it's still a wrestling show.
Mr. Scott Hall.
Hey, yo, I want to rock the wrestling world again.
OneWrestling.com, Bill After.
If it wasn't for Hogan and Vince McMahon, sports entertainment would not be in existence.
We have a bushwhacker in the house.
G'day, mateys. It's bloody lovely being on your show.
MVP.
I came up with the MVP concept based on everything that's wrong with pro athletes today.
VOC Nation, heard worldwide.
This right here is the future of wrestling.